Lord, the more I love you, I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I'm melting your peace, it's overwhelming.
Can you just close your eyes and see yourself at the feet of Jesus? Just worshiping him. Leaning back on his chest.
The more I seek you, Lord, the more I find you. The more I find you, Lord, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. It's
drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat.
This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I'm melting your peace, it's overwhelming.
Wow, praise God. Praise God. Father, we are so aware that in your presence is fullness of joy. And Lord, that is what we seek. Of all the things, all the topics and the subject matter, whatever, of the Word of God, it all boils back to you. We just need you. And you bring all the other with you. So Lord, as we rest in you right now, tonight, and as we lean back on your chest and sit at your feet, as we bask in your presence, fill us, Lord, to overflowing with your Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that you manifest your glory more and more and more. And Lord, I know as we seek you more and more, we'll have more of your glory. Cause our thoughts to be your thoughts, our ways your ways. Let us see through your eyes. touch through our hands, speak through our lips. May we love one another as you've loved us, Lord Jesus. And I pray for a full manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and a full manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, that we may be true in you, in character, through the fruit. May we be true to you, that you trust us to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. And Lord, it's all about the people. Lord God, our heart reaches out for those who need your touch. And we realize, Lord God, that we are your being on the earth. And help us, Lord God, to be instantly aware and conscious of the fact that where there's a need, you'll be there to meet it. So, Lord, we give you honor for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God forever. Okay, let's see. Romans chapter, we don't need to turn here yet, Cameron. I just want to refresh. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So what is the weapon that God has? The gospel. There's nothing that can come. Just think about this. The Apostle Paul as Saul, okay? Now, he did havoc among the church. He threw people in jail, maybe even killed some people. I don't know that, but maybe he did. Maybe the Bible refers to it, and I just didn't remember that part. But anyway, he made life miserable for the church. Isn't that right? And he was there when Stephen was stoned. Isn't that correct? He held the coats of the guys that threw the stones. Right? And did he not say, I'm the Pharisee of all Pharisees, when he was telling about his testimony and where he came from? So if he's the Pharisee of all Pharisees, he may not be on the Sanhedrin, but he might have been, which is the ruling council of the Sanhedrin, of the Pharisees. He may have been. But if not, he's very well connected. Don't you think? I would speculate, if he was there when Stephen was stoned, he was there when Jesus was crucified. Could we take that little leap of faith? Right? I mean, if he wanted to go kill the church after the resurrection, don't you think he was there rejoicing when Jesus actually died? Because he thought that he was smitten of God. He got what was coming to him. Who does he think he is? Because he's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He's right with that crowd. I just have to think he was there when Jesus was crucified. I don't think the scripture brings it out. I just think it's a logical assumption. So he's on the road to Damascus to bring more havoc to the church. Funny thing happened on the way to the road to Damascus. Does anybody know what happened on the road? Well, he and his peppers or whatever, he was knocked off his horse by a bright light. And Jesus said some things to him. Does anyone remember some of the things he said? Huh? Why persecute thou me? And he says, who are you, Lord? He says, hard for you to kick against the pricks, against the spikes that would, when the ox would hit that spike, he would recoil from it because he would have to stay within in the yoke thing. But the one thing that threw him for a loop more than anything, he saw him dead, and now he sees him alive. He was tattooed to the wall with the resurrection. How do you argue with a resurrected person. You do not. You just say, yes, Lord, what am I to do? He crucified him. Was with the crowd that did. And the one thing that brought him to his knees was the resurrection. He saw him. He heard him. The light was so bright that it blinded his eyes. Wow. Paul wrote those things. And he's the one that said, and this is why he could say things, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel of Jesus? It's the good news, right? What's the good news? Jesus died for the ungodly. He died. And he rose again, right? Well, Paul experienced both of those face to face. My thought. Amen? Okay. So, all that for nothing, I guess. Amen. I don't know why we went there, but we did. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, right? Okay, now, we went on to say this morning that the awakening has begun, as far as I'm concerned, and we need to confess that, you know, well, revival's coming, you know, in the end. Well, we're there, folks, and it doesn't matter, you know, it is the end of us. We're getting to the end of us. So we need the awakening now. There's an outpouring of the former and the latter rain together, bringing healing and casting out Satan. I believe that we're going to experience a near Pentecostal experience with the flesh, when the Spirit of God is poured out in such a manner that there'll be manifestations and people will come to the understanding and the truth of God face to face. Okay? Now, I'm just going to go here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. And while we're going there, we want to pray for Janice, who's going to have a procedure done Tuesday. Is that right? She's going to have a pacemaker put in. Isn't that right? Okay, we're going to pray they put it in right, not upside down, right? Amen. She'll be walking backwards. She'll be moonwalking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we've prayed for her, but tonight, in the name of Jesus, your love heals her. That you have given her favor. You've given the doctors great skill and understanding. We pray, Lord God, that this procedure go without any complication. That the Spirit of the Holy One of Israel gives her life.
Yes.
Refreshing, renewal, restoration, healing and deliverance in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes.
So we go ahead in advance and thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the goodness of this and the
yes.
power of it
yes.
in the mighty name of Jesus. And that's what faith does.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Have we found that yet? Where was I going? Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Let's go to verse 7, I believe. Now, God said to write these letters to the seven churches in Asia. And this is the one talking about to Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. Verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Let's say it out loud. Open door. What? We're going to find out what opens the doors. And no man can shut it. For thou hast had a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. What does 9 say? Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which thou art, which say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. This is the church of Philadelphia, the church of love. What is it? Does verse 10 say something? Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Philadelphia is the church of love. This is the one that he found no fault in. That's the church we want to be, folks. When John got this in Revelation, it was a long, long time ago, but it's for today. Right? If we want to be a church of those seven, and they're out there, these types of churches are out there, this is the one we want to be at. The one that has the open door. Y'all don't turn back anything. I know that. Anybody comes, they are welcome here, and we'll love them and get them restored. Do all we know how to do if they'll let us do it. Right? This is the one. Now, as things begin to shift, as we see, as this virus gets, as it ends, as other things fall into place, we want to understand, what are we going to do? We're going to be like we are now and right on through and even greater. We are a church of the open door. Amen? That's a good deal, isn't it? Give yourself a hand clap. Glory to God. Jesus knows what's going on. Jesus comes to church. He visits around. And he sees and he knows what's going on. Praise God. Now let's go to verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true. He's talking about Jesus, the true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So there are lukewarm churches. We're not the judge. He's the judge. Sometimes we think we're doing great things. We're not cold. We're not hot. We're accumulating. We're growing. We're doing da-da-da-da-da. But yet we have no form. We have a form of things, but no power. Now, this is Jesus writing to us tonight, correct? And we need to identify one of these churches, because Jesus has got us pegged. He's got them all pegged. And none of us are perfect. And as soon as we start thinking about, ooh, you just missed the point. Don't ever go whoop and get proud about who you are, because without Jesus, we are absolutely a zero. We stay true to Him. And this is the one thing that for us to navigate our individual lives and to navigate our churches in the coming days, maybe for the rest of the days, I don't know that. But the one thing we must do, we must follow Jesus. We must get as close to Him as we can and walk with Him, talk with Him, study Him, be everything we know to do. Let Him live in us. We need to yield to Him. As John said about John the Baptist said, I must decrease so He can increase in my life. We need to get off our little thrones and give Him the throne of all and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We bow to you. We humble ourselves to you. And if we'll stay with that attitude of gratitude, you're going to be all right. Because if we'll mold ourselves like Him. You know, Ephesians 5 says, be you followers of Christ. And that word followers means imitate Him. Now, if we're whining and carrying on all the time, we're not imitating Christ. Are we? If we're being mean to people, are we imitating Christ? No. If we say, you're not good enough to come here, are we? No. You know, you can't sit here, that's where so-and-so sits. No. We're not doing that stuff. We're all equal in His sight. Pursue Him. Walk as close to Jesus as you can. Stir up that gift. Take me back, as Andre Crouch sang in that song, take me back to where I used to be. Where I once was. Take me back. And just begin to relive those moments in time when you were so close to God, when you were born again and your heart was so tender. Somebody say, Jesus, and you start crying. You know? Somebody say, let's have a prayer meeting every night of the week. And you'd show up every time. Amen? Those were the days. And we need to get back to them. Seek ye, first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. You won't even have to work for them. They'll be added to you. God will put you in such a position that they'll just be added to you. Tithing, we talked about in prayer a while ago. The windows of heaven opened and He pours blessings on us. I think He knows exactly what we need. And that's what He'll pour out on you. Amen? But we don't have enough room to store anything because His blessings are so great. Do we believe that tonight? And if you want to walk close to God, you have to walk in the Word of God. You have to know what the Word says. And I'm singing to the choir, but let me tell you, none of us know it all. None of us have got it all worked out. Paul himself wrote in Philippians, "Don't think I've apprehended all everything, but I do know one thing. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God."
Amen.
I've accumulated, I've done a lot of things, but this one thing I do. Don't you think I have arrived? This one thing I do. I'm just getting close to Jesus more than I ever did. And I want faith outreach to be like Philadelphia. And I know you do too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What did you say about Philadelphia? You have what kind of door? Oh, we're not a private club. We're not the only one going to make it. You don't have to have any certain hairdo to be here. You can wear jewelry. You can television here. Blaine says, "Television to nobody." He said, "You know, just think about it, television, TV, television to nobody." But we have visions here, and we tell about it. Praise be to God. But the church at Laodicea. Now, there were seven churches that letters were written to. Correct? Okay. How many of them God has something against? I'll give you a hint. Watch my fingers. How many do I have up? Six. Only one. Philadelphia is a love church. Without love, it just don't work. It just doesn't work without the love of God. We don't have the right to pick and choose. We don't have the right to judge anybody. But we do owe something. What do I owe every man? Love. Owe no man nothing but love. And you can't respect him if you don't love him. You can't love him and not respect him. Amen? This is so easy, but it is a big hill to climb for us in this time of, in the climate that we're in today. Let's get our eyes set on the harvest and off ourselves. Some of these churches that he wrote about, one of them that says, you're rich, you have all the stuff, and you think you're rich, but I call you poor. Wretched. Because God's not first, their riches are first. Their stuff is first. Amen? But we have an open door. Praise God. Isn't that good? And I pray that all churches become open door churches. Right? Let's don't be deceived by the devil and tricked by religion saying, you know, you got to have, you know, a certain amount. No, we just do what God says to do. And who comes, comes. And we want everybody to come because we got something to give them. His name's Jesus. And what can Jesus do for you? What can Jesus do for you? Save you, heal you. He can do everything for you if we believe in Him. Amen? We are believers. Praise be to God. So, we're the church of love, an open door. Let's go in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I believe that's going to be correct, or 2. I didn't write that down right. 1 Corinthians chapter, can we go there? Let's just go to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. Maybe I remember that correctly. First Corinthians, is that chapter 2? There we go. "And I, brethren, when I came to you to Corinth, to the church of Corinth, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Next verse. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. Now, what's he saying there? I came to preach the cross. I came to preach the blood. I came to preach the goodness of God. I came to preach the righteousness of God. I came to preach the very bones, the foundation, the building blocks of Christianity. I determined not to. I didn't come here to impress you. I came here to tell you that Jesus is Lord and nobody else. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him, what? Crucified. Crucified brings on resurrection. Verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. I don't ever want to have the day when I stand behind any pulpit anywhere and try to impress somebody with my fancy words. I've heard fancy words before. They're cool. I heard fancy words for 25 years, but I never heard this one thing. As far as I know, I'm telling it right. Maybe I just didn't hear it because I probably wasn't listening. I don't remember ever hearing, just putting it like this, you must be born again. I heard about joining the church. And how I wish somebody just said, Jimmy, you got to be born again. Not just mentally ascend into God's presence. You don't get saved by osmosis. You know what osmosis is? It's just when you just absorb and become what's here. You have to make a decision. And Jesus is the decision to make. All I needed was a little swift kick, and I finally got it that night. Praise God. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. I didn't come with man's fancy words, not man's wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and power. What does 5 say? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's the reason he didn't come to impress people. Because you think he could? He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees, trained under Gamaliel. I mean, this dude, he had doctorate degrees all over him. He was the man. But he got knocked off his donkey one night because the God he saw die rose and stood before him. That will get your attention. And he writes to Corinth. And when he comes to Corinth, I didn't come with your great fancy words. I came to demonstrate the Word of God and in the Spirit. Don't you love it? Because that produces miracles. Hello? Amen? That's why we have them. And when you preach the power of God and you preach miracles, you're going to get miracles. Because why? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You get what you preach. Amen. So we're going to preach from Genesis always, Jesse says, all the way to the, through the maps. We're going to go the whole way. Glory to God. We need to understand God's Word, but to follow Him. I think that's good for all of us to understand that we need to follow Him and He will lead us. What does the 23rd Psalm tell us? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So that makes you a sheep. Sheep follow the shepherd. The shepherd don't follow the sheep. The Holy Ghost is moving. You better follow the Holy Ghost. If the Word of God says do it, you better do what the Word of God says. Don't you think? Amen. The time is now. The awakening is here. Wake up. Hear it. Begin to think about it. Begin to rehearse it in your heart, in your mind. If the Holy Ghost is here, it's got to be an awakening. Amen. At least for yourself. The awakening is here. It's the former and the latter rain. It's that time. This is what Joel talked about. Because when the Lord comes back, we know we're going to be ready. Amen? And we're going to take a lot of folks with us. But we got to be a church that's got an open door. Yep. Some churches won't let Jesus in. At least that's what the joke said. I don't know about the little boy. He said, they won't let me in. He said, they don't let me in either. So, whatever. But mine is not the job to judge anybody, but to follow Him and love everybody. Can we do that? There's two things. Love people, follow God. Love God, love people. And we'll get that. We'll get a good report card from the Lord. You know, the guy that wrote those letters, Jesus, or had them to be written, he is the head of the church. He's not the FBI, but he's the head of the church. Yeah. We want to please him. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we, Lord God, now we know the word says that you have placed an open door before us, but Lord God, we tonight at Faith Outreach declare we have an open door. Lord, an open door for people, but an open door for you. So you may come and do what you want to do. That we'll preach the word, not according to what the world thinks, but according to what you think and what you want to be done. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Fill us with your glory, your wisdom, the love, the word of God, the revelation knowledge that we need. You are welcome in this place, Lord Jesus. This is your church and we're your church. You are welcome here. And we bow before you. And we say, Lord, lead us into all truth. Lead us in those green pastures and still waters. And when we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord God, you're there to give us authority and victory. That you anoint our heads with oil and our cup runs over. Oh God, you prepare for us a table in the presence of our enemies. We sit down and eat while our enemies kill themselves. Thank you. And Lord, goodness and mercy follow us wherever we go. Not doom and gloom and despair, but goodness and mercy follow us wherever we go. And Lord, we will dwell in your house forever. Lord, open our eyes and let us see. The vision you have for us at Faith Outreach, that you have for every believer. Let us see, Lord. We seek you. And as one to sing the song, the more we seek, the more we find. Oh God, you are inexhaustible. And we need all of you. So Lord, dismiss us tonight. Fully aware, Lord God, of the seriousness of the hour, but yet full of joy. Because you are joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we rejoice because the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. Thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for safety this week for everyone. I pray, Lord God, that lots of things get accomplished in all of our lives this week, that we are safe. And Lord, that our children and schools and teachers, bus drive, everything is fine. And we give you all the praise for this. In Jesus' name, amen.